a delight to be with you again this morning in this service. I hope we've all had a wonderful week of trying to find the blessings that God has given to us so generously. And now let us read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, a familiar tale, and allow us to listen fresh to these words and allow them to rest upon your heart and mind. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let us go to God in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us, your children. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. So many of us have heard this story before that I just read from the Gospel of Luke about Martha and Mary. There is something about it that catches our attention, that hooks us in. Even though it is about two sisters 2,000 years ago, somehow it's as if it might have been written about me or maybe written about you. If you have read or heard this story before or heard it preached on, I'm sure you, like me, have said to yourself, "Well, I'm definitely a Martha," or "I'm definitely a Mary." However, in reading it fresh again this week, it seems to me it really isn't about figuring out which woman we identify with in the story, but it's uncovering what it is exactly that Jesus wants from these women, and thus what Jesus might want from us. We know Mary is held up as someone who seems to be doing something right in the story, and that Martha is corrected by Jesus. The text points out to us why Mary is the one who is approved of and why Martha is not. However, considering the customs of this time, the exact opposite should be the case. In these times, and really, still in our times today, if you have a guest come into your home, you would stop everything to make sure they are welcomed and help to prepare them a meal. Make sure things are clean and orderly so that the guest can feel welcomed. If all your sister was doing was being silent and sitting on the floor in front of the guest, leaving you with all the work to do, you would think it absurd. You would be embarrassed. You'd be infurious. We look at the story and many of us say, of course she should be helping her sister. There is a guest that must be taken care of. And this guest is no ordinary guest. It's Jesus. This is the great rabbi. This is the Messiah. Martha is frustrated with her sister because how you show respect for someone in this time is in terms of the service you provide, especially for women in this time period. But that's not the case for this story. Instead, it is flipped upside down. The traditions are challenged. The routine is uprooted. The expectations are pulled out from underneath Martha and subsequently us. It's a complete reversal. Martha is thrown out of her comfort zone. This is all she knows. All she knows really how to do when someone enters your home. She was reared and taught as a child growing up that you served the guests that entered your house. You must act quickly to make them feel at home. Jesus is not angry. He is not upset. When I hear the words, Martha, Martha, I don't hear it in a condescending way. Instead, I hear it out of sympathy. Jesus is concerned. Jesus cares for Martha and wants the best for her. He is concerned because Martha has been so distracted and so busy preparing everything that she does not realize what is right in front of her. She is unfortunately missing the whole point that Jesus has come to her house. While serving is important and what we do as people who follow Jesus, we cannot forget to do things with the right attitude. We cannot forget we have to recharge our spiritual batteries and worship God and keep our relationship with God strong. The reason Jesus praises Mary is for her understanding that hearing and listening to Jesus is absolutely critical to being a disciple. It is worship. Listening and connecting with God is worship. Service is worship, but not if we forget why we serve, not if we get wrapped up in our own little worlds. Why we serve has to always be in our minds. If it isn't, then we need to make sure that there is an earnest priority to know that the reason we serve is to follow Jesus. As Jesus' disciple, he is the one who leads us, not the other way around. If we don't have a relationship with him, then there's no guidance. There's no guidance at all. We're leading the way. And when we start to do that, that's just not how it works. In our world, we are far more likely to be busy, wrapped up in doing, that we don't stop to think and pray and really discern God's voice to us. The reality is that we need to listen at God's feet for direction. We have plenty to keep our minds busy. We are inundated with so much information every day. It kindles within us stress that we may not even realize is slowly tacking on to us. We must make a point to always remind ourselves that the busyness of life can consume us. We must make time for God. Busyness, working too much, getting lost in our schedules can become an idol where this need to fulfill all that we need to. And if we don't learn how to incorporate God first in our lives and allow everything else to fit in around the Lord, then soon that idol may begin to consume us. It turns into a monster that we soon can't control. Worship of God and being diligent in spiritual practice and holy listening has to be a priority. Our relationship with the divine is what gives us life. It's what can revive us from being jailed to our workplace or school or other stressful situations that are a part of our lives. Now, being in a relationship with God is challenging. It's no secret. It is a hard path to walk faithfully and consistently. It's difficult to allow God to lead instead of our own egos and self-interests. But even though there are challenges, God pours out to us life-giving grace and mercy to aid us daily. Worship and praise and prayer, Bible reading and fasting, receiving Holy Communion, being a part of small groups and Sunday schools are all ways for us to reconnect with God, to be refreshed, to be renewed, to refocus our priorities. We cannot forget that we are servants and children of God who loves us and loved us first and wants for us to receive blessing after blessing. God wants the best for you. But a relationship with God is a two-way street. It may sometimes be curvy, maybe bumpy, maybe filled with potholes, maybe icy at times. Sometimes it turns into a one-way road. Sometimes you have to take a detour. But this relationship with God and all relationships, really, they require two parties working at it together. God doesn't want to force you to do anything. I don't believe God operates that way. God wants you to want it for yourself. God wants us to want it for us and believe that God can bring it about. Now, sometimes God needs to push a little or wake us up out of a dream state. But God truly desires for us to go along and believe that God wants the best for us and knows what is best for us. You see, if we're constantly communicating and being earnest with this relationship with God, truly trying to hear and discern what God is saying to us, our spiritual life will be fulfilling. We all know that one of the major keys of any relationship is communication. If you are married to somebody or married or dating someone that doesn't talk to you, doesn't spend time with you, seems to be busy doing other things, chances are that relationship isn't really working, is it? That relationship is caving in. Ultimately, it's no relationship at all. And I strongly believe that God mourns that. I believe it is God's strongest desire to see that we love God back and reciprocate a meaningful relationship. When we don't reciprocate, or we get lazy or get too busy, God is saddened because he knows how transformative it would be for people to grab hold and love back. Our relationship with God is something to cherish, something we should desire to grow and make better each and every day. You know, there have been periods in my life where my worship has been insufficient, where my worship has been lacking, where I was doing but not worshiping. I was more worshiping from memory than really digging deep within myself and asking God the tough questions of how I can truly get closer to being a more faithful disciple. This Christian life is hard to live in a chaotic world like ours, where we are pulled in so many different directions. The grace of God, however, can and will overcome stress, anxiety, depression, and frustration. The stress in Martha's life seems to have brought her to where she lost her joy. Like me, she was really doing the service out of habit, rather than allowing the grace of God to lead her life. You see, joy is key to faithful service. Joy is one of those things that is a mystery that I believe only God fully knows how it works, how it operates. But some things I know about joy are that joy is beyond happiness. Joy happens in spite of suffering or hard work or stress. Joy is unexplainable. And why should it be explainable? If it were, everyone would be trying to get on the joy bandwagon. People who work tirelessly in their careers to get ahead and get promoted, get raises and more money for the sole purpose that they think money will bring them happiness, or celebrities who think fame and living large will make them happy, soon find out that happiness is not joy. They felt happy at certain points because they have been able to satisfy some desire, but it is temporary. Happiness runs out. The joy can't be found, and we see so many people then turn to drinking, drugs, sex, anything that might give them happiness or anything that might numb the pain of life. Unfortunately, happiness is not what they need, and it won't truly fulfill them. Joy, on the other hand, has the power to keep us going, to enrich our lives. It allows us to see the blessings around us, and when we see the blessings, it inspires us to live more and more faithfully. We seem to receive joy when our souls are fed, when we notice and give God praise, no matter how big or small we seem the blessings might be. Mary was perfectly content to listen to Jesus. A key to unlocking joy and have it live within us. Following the way of Jesus, being attentive to what he leads us to do, will bring about joy, will bring about fulfillment. You will begin to remember how much God loves you and wants the best for you, and you'll come to the knowledge that joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. That leads me to one of my favorite stories, and it's about one of my dear friends and mentors. His name was Earl Jackson, and he passed away a few years ago. And several years before that, Earl's wife passed away. I think he was around 72 or 73 when it happened. And you know, Earl obviously loved his wife, and when she was gone, he felt sad and felt lonely, as folks who lose spouses at that age who have been together for years and years just seem to not know how to operate without them. And even his Sunday school class said that we don't think Earl is going to last really long. He's just down, and he isn't being active as much, and things are just taking a turn for the worst. And I was going through youth group at the time, and my youth minister reached out to Earl and said, "Earl, why don't you come to youth group tonight? You know, have dinner, see the message, and just see the kids." Said, no, I ain't gonna do that. No. Well, she asked again, and he finally gave in, and he came to youth group one night. And then he came the next week. And then he came the next week. And soon, the youth group is Earl's life. He's going on all kinds of youth trips. He went with me and the youth group on a mission trip to Mexico. He's in his 70s. And he went on a mission trip with me and others from the church to Peru. And you just see that Earl received the joy of life again. It was a blessing to Earl to be a part of this. And I haven't even mentioned the most amazing thing, and that's that he taught a seventh grade boy small group. Do you know seventh grade boys? But he did it. It was from the grace of God and the joy in his life that he just wanted to give back to these kids. And it was amazing to see. And I'll never forget a testimony that he gave where he said that I've never felt closer to God in my life than being a part of this youth group. And interestingly enough, he died of a random heart attack after a youth event in his home and his kitchen. Earl found joy again. Martha, I think, found her joy again. I think her encounter with Jesus shook her foundation, and it allowed her to refocus again upon what matters in life. Do you have joy in your life? Are you a Christian who is experiencing a spiritual lag or just feel like you're going through the motions? Are you a person that just seems so bogged down with the stresses of life and trying to keep ahead of every schedule you have and just can't seem to keep up with the God part? Sit at God's feet. Don't waste your life away getting bogged down. Don't work your life away and miss Jesus' love all around you and the love that he has for you. Don't miss God's blessings surrounding you everywhere. Take advantage of all God can give to you, because God wants you to wrap your arms around all God can give to you to become a better disciple. Listen for that still, small voice of the Most High God who leads us to more holy living, living out of the love of God where true joy lies. May the joy of Jesus Christ grow within all of us and remain in our hearts forever. Amen.